that again. No, it's not full. So the Shemoneh Esrei is of most of Rosh Hashanah is structured 30 psukim, 10 in Malchus, 10 in Zechariah, 10 in Shofar. The final pasuk is, you can just hear it, Otvila, V'seros Chakosuv, and in your Torah it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's like the pinnacle, the top stone on top of the Beis HaMikdash. That pasuk is in itself a controversy, and the Gemara as to whether or not it even belongs there. Rabbi Yossi says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is Malchus, belongs in the section of kingship. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not. It's not Malchus. So, Sifsa Chaim stelt sich here, what's the machlokes? What are they arguing about? What's the issue? What's with this table?
I didn't make it.
You didn't make it? You can tell.
Well, what's with it? It's squeaking.
It's creaking. Okay. So, he says that in introduction, he wants to present three levels of a person's own acceptance of Malchus Shemayim. What does that mean? Three different levels. Madrega Rishayna, the first Madrega, and what's fascinating is that the opening chapters of Tanya have, can I have the tissues please, have the exact same structure. And here he brings it in the name of the Vilna Gaon, which is somewhat humorous. They say the exact same thing. Entry level. Malchus Shemayim, beginners, training wheels, is that a person has, I got my agenda, things that I want, things that I like, things that I want to do, and it just so happens to be that many of them run in contrast to the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, he and I, Kaviyachal, are clashing in our interests. But due to the fact that he is he with the capital H and I am me with the small m, I submit myself to abiding by his will. So I want to do A, B, and C, oftentimes E, F, G, H. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you're not allowed to do those things. Okay, you're God. I'm just little me. I'm going to do what you want, God. That's a chashuv madrega. That's not to be dismissed. But that is the level of what he calls here a beinani, meaning my yetzahara is alive and well. It's thriving. It's healthy. He's got a good imagination. He's got a whole series of agendas, but I abide in action, in thought, in speech. You're boss, God. I'm not going to do it.
Is this the same Beinoni that the Tanya talks about?
Yeah. Well, you'll see there are a few differences, but fundamentally, yes. Okay, so again, the picture is a guy who's got a thriving, healthy Yetzirah, who wants to do everything he wants to do, but in deference to the word of Hashem, never a violation. That's a great Jew, okay? That's entry level.
So we enter on great.
Yeah. Madrega Shnia, second level, we're going up now to a higher level, is something called Bitul Harotzen. Bitul HaRotzen, he says, that a person is able to get himself to a place where, due to the fact that he has such a reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he knows the punishments, and he knows, due to the punishments, how offensive these things are to the Almighty, that it begins to nauseate him to think that he would want that which Hashem finds so abhorrent. So he's able to really come to a point where he can't even imagine himself doing those things. Eating shrimp? disgusting. It's just like the Rebbe Shlomo finds it so nauseating, so disgusting, that I couldn't even imagine. It's on the level like we had. Interesting, we had this in this week's parasha. The word lo suchal. You can't punch it. A person lo suchal lechem b'shachar. You can't even eat. I think it's talking about Ma'aser Sheni. A person says it's not possible. It's like that, that's what Rebbe Shlomo finds where he once came into a hallway of hundreds of people. They're just daven mincha, and he had to make it up to the dais. And in the aisle, there was a guy who was still standing there near the davening Shmona Esrei. So Ramesh is waiting for the guy to finish. So one of the guys says to him, Rebbe, there's 1,000 people waiting for you. Can you please, you know, figure out some heter? So Ramesh says, I can't walk up. There's a wall there. To Ramesh, the halacha was a wall. It's like, how can I possibly walk through a wall? What are you crazy? I can't walk through a wall. I mean, I can't.
What about the Hashem Gezer line?
What does that mean?
Thanks, Rashi, and I think Rashi's condition. I think it's condition.
The what?
Shmini. That one should, he's quoting a measure, one shouldn't look at it, a cheeseburger.
EFSHI. A person shouldn't say EFSHI. Okay, right. They talk about that a tzaddik gomer is allowed to look at it that way, but that for the average.
Yeah, you mentioned this on Shabbos.
Yeah, for the average guy, a person shouldn't go there.
The rest of us on the rest of the story?
Huh?
Why do you guys say that all the time? What are you talking about?
There's a Maima Chazal that says a person should not say, ew, that's disgusting, about treif. A person should say, looks good.
That looks good.
Yeah, Hashem decreed that I shouldn't eat it. So the question is, who's allowed to have that attitude? So the Divrei Chaim analyzer we did at Shabbos morning, Divrei Chaim says that a tzaddik gomor is allowed to create an attraction to something forbidden and then say, but I don't want to do it.
If that's a goal, then what about this?
Right. Yeah, it needs an answer. Here he's saying, though, that a person, and he's quoting here from Ramchal, that a person is the way he puts it here, he gives a mashal. That's a famous mashal brought in many places. But a person comes to recognize that there are certain things that are just not shaykh to them. Meaning, you got the classic mashal that they gave hundreds of years ago, which is not shaykh now, but you had a king of the country who has an only daughter. The farmer boy does not dream about marrying the princess because he knows it's not shaykh. It's just not in my league, right? It's outside of the realm of possibility. He has no desire for it. That's what you're saying. A person should develop a relationship with Isser, that it's not shaykh. Conversely, in the positive, though, the possibility that a day could go by without putting on tefillin, it's just like, what's the point of living? It's just, there's no, that it has to become embedded in a person's second nature to recognize this is who I am. It becomes probably most relevant when it comes to, we could relate to it, I think, easiest when it comes to other people's things. Like the thought of taking somebody else's car. For most of us, it doesn't enter the realm of possibility, like I'm going to think of stealing their car. It doesn't, right? We've mastered that. It's not like I wake up in the morning and have a desire to see us steal somebody's BMW. So in that area, we've become... We
call it stealing.
No, but it's not because it's wrong.
No, because we have the mindset that it's stealing. It's not us.
But it's second nature. It's become second nature to us. We don't think about stealing somebody else's car. It's just not. It doesn't enter our realm of possibility. So what's interesting about these? What I find about it is that this isn't an all or nothing thing, meaning we have some areas of life that we've mastered this already, and that's a perfect example. When it comes to taxes, okay, you know, I want to find some ways of, you know, the government doesn't need all of my money, or you know, there's some gray area. There are areas, borrowing somebody's pen that's laying on the table, right? He's not going to mind. right? You have by mitzvahs, you have a concept by mitzvahs that actually a person wants you to use their things. If you didn't put on tefillin today and they left the tefillin on the table, there's a halacha that you should use their tefillin because they actually want you to use their tefillin. Right? That's level two. Svarim. Huh? Is not? Because you might ruin it. Okay, again, it depends probably which sefer. I love when people use my svarim because I get to use them so seldom that I'm hoping that like when my aunt will open, they see that it was used, they might think that I learned. So if you want to use any of my svarim, you're welcome. As long as I know where they are. It makes me crazy when I know I own a sefer and I can't find it. It's really nerve-wracking. Give it back, Hirschman. Okay.
It's probably an app for that. Some library app or something.
Yeah, there probably should be. Number three. Level.
Barcode.
Hakara Shlishis. You ready for the highest madriga? It's frustrating for me to share this with you because it's something that's hard to attain. What's hard to attain is the recognition that even when it comes to personality, right? When it comes to talent, when it comes to the gifts of how much money we make, what we own, and so on, that we come to a peaceful, tranquil acceptance of Hashem knows the best way for me to serve Him, and He perfectly custom tailors the circumstances of my life with all of the talent and all the things that I need in order to serve Him properly. It's a complete, it's like watching a baby nursing from his mother. The kid's got no daiga. Baby has no worries about, boy, I wish I'd be nursing from somebody else. Is it organic or is it not organic? Right? Or worrying about, you know, when my diapers are going to be changed. There's an absolute trump. And you see the psukim, when they want to talk about absolute trust, it's kiyonik. It's like a baby in his mother's arms. There's a tranquility, there's an acceptance, there's a peacefulness, there's no more secure place in the world than that imagery. And then, you know, we ruin it from then on, of course. We as parents end up destroying the kid's level of but to me, this is a very, very challenging issue. It's a very challenging issue because when I watch people, talented people, be able to do things that there's no way that I can have that creativity or even if it comes to a stamina of Bali Tefillah or people who can, you know, can march on for 18 hours straight or people who can sit and learn for 4 or 5 hours without interruption, I'd have to go through a brain transplant, or maybe it's a different body part transplant. I don't know what it would be.
Like to have a
Spilky. Yeah, it's, you know, I got Spilkies, like my Spilkies have Spilkies. It's like so.
A double madrake over there.
Yeah. Anyway, but the Rebbeinu Shalom created me this way. Does that mean that I'm not supposed to try and overcome that? No, obviously we have to put forth a battle or something. But, you know, the example, I don't care for the example he gives. The example he gives on this is, you look at somebody who's got a gorgeous suit, he's a size 44, you're a size 22, you're not going to covet his suit because it's the wrong, you know, you're not really not going to look good in that suit. We've seen people like that. So,
covet the cloth?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't like his example, because I wish I would have a suit that would, you know, that would look on me as good as it looks on him, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that a baldas, a person who's really got seichel, recognizes that they've got the tools they need. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has provided us the tools, the circumstances. All of the what-ifs in life are a negation of Hashem's control over the world. Had I only, you know, if somebody once said by Hashem Brachas that the bracha that we give, the Chasen Kala, is that Hashem should be mesameach them, kesameichach yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem, like Hashem made Adam rejoice in Gan Eden. What was that rejoicing? Adam Arishon never wondered, maybe I should have married somebody else. You ever think about that? The other thing is that he rejoiced about his other Mauritian was the only guy that never had a mother-in-law. That's in the small letters in the commentary. But other Mauritian never wondered, speaking of which I met your sister in law yesterday. She said that you had a mazel tov, we got some new chickens. For Kapuris. We'll do Kapuris over by you. Anyway, so I mean the terminology, the clarity. He paints it out that when a person comes to a clear recognition of Hashem's control of the world and how he custom tells it, the people who sit and do this type of wondering and imagining what if are really belong in institutions. It really is a form of insanity. For a person who has that type of clarity, I'll share with you a story. I think I may have told it publicly, but to me it was the prime example of this. You say the Baba Virov Zechon Levroch, my great uncle. So I had a big knack for midas. He was a person of tremendously high midas, and he was a person who worked at it. He wasn't born with those easygoing midas. So my brother-in-law was with him at a chasana. It was a big Rebbe's chasana. And he noticed that the Bavrov was dancing in a way that was extraordinary. It wasn't his normal, not the normal level of simcha. So he garnered up the chutzpah to ask him, Shvir, what was with the dancing last night? So he smiled. He said, oh, you noticed? So he said, yeah. He said, it was over the top. So he said, I'll tell you what it was. He said, I went to a chasana, it was of a first cousin who was a Rebbe with thousands and thousands of chassidim. It was a massive thing. It was in one of these huge halls, and there were tens of thousands of people at the wedding. He says, and he and I grew up together. We're pretty much equals. And I saw the size of his chassidus. And I noticed that I really had no jealousy. That I was really able to be happy for him. And then I thought about how easily I could have been caught up in the jealousy or in the poor me or in the you know, whatever thinking there could have been about the difference between us. And I just rejoiced about the fact that I'm not subject to those kinds of thoughts. So he says, I really wasn't dancing entirely for his simcha. I was dancing for the blessing that I'm blessed with, that I don't suffer from jealousy. So, you know, we all have our struggles in that area where we look around and we whether it's somebody else's madregas, it's somebody else's chiddush and Torah, it's somebody else's being able to be about tefillah or whatever it is. Now, there is a concept of kinas seferim tar b'chachma, that being jealous of somebody else's ruchnias is a good thing, provided that it's within the realm of our possibilities. OK, Okay? If I'm going to be jealous of Abish Broad's singing, then I belong in the psychiatric ward. Because it's not shayach. It's not in the realm of possibility. We've gone up a madriga here. It's not doing it right here. Okay. So here's what the Prime Friedlander does. And this is the chiddush of it. And I think this will change our davening every day. He says that this concept is called Achdus Hashem. This concept of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's exquisite, detailed construct of the understanding of who each of us is and what the circumstances of our lives need to be in order to bring us to that shlemus is the exquisite dominion of God's unity. Achdus Hashem. It doesn't mean Shema Yisrael Hashem L'Kein Hashem Echad doesn't mean only that there is one God. It means that everything is part of that oneness. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu customizes every aspect of life, and of course he's able to do this all at one moment, b'skira achas, with one fell swoop, with one look over all of us, and custom tailors everything. That is the statement of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is that he knows me thoroughly, completely, and customizes every detail of our lives.
And he does this for each of every one of us, period.
Mostly for me, but sometimes he looks at you too. I'm a full-time job. Yeah.
So maybe when the rabbi is sleeping, we can sneak something in.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
I
when I'm that. Sleeping.
I didn't get embarrassed. It wasn't Busha.
Here are some of the, what we call in Yiddish, the side effects of this attitude. Okay? When we desire something that's not consistent with the Ratzon Hashem, it's not consistent with Hashem's will, it's no longer good and bad. It's insanity. Because when you look at a diabetic, yeah, and they're sitting down to a big plate of cake, and you know that it's going to send them into chalila, a diabetic shock. So you don't look at them and say, it's not so healthy, or that's really not so good for you. You look at them, you say, dementia is meshuga. Right? You say that it's insanity. You know what's going to happen. You know what's true and what's false. This is emes and sheker. It's not ra and toiv. It's insanity. There's no other way to call it. When a person comes to this understanding of Hashem's creation, this becomes that which is keneged Ratz Hashem becomes false. It's not just good and bad or right and wrong. It's sheker. It's falsehood. You know, it's like filling your gas tank of your car with Kool-Aid. You won't say, it's really not so good for your car. It's Michigana, get out of the lot. Right? You're destroying the car. That becomes this level of hakara in the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, taken out to its full extent, creates a world, takes it out of the realm of relative good and bad, and brings it into a realm of truth and falsehood. So when we're dealing with coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deeper, more significant way on Rosh Hashanah, the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad becomes the central theme, because it speaks of the absolute truth of this message. Okay, so let's just put our foot into the water here with this next outcome of this, and then we'll break and continue tomorrow. We shared I shared with you this Chazal. It's a Medrash in Vayikra that goes through all the Marishans' first day on the job. Right? So the Medrash says that on the day of Rosh Hashanah, so the first hour, Hashem conceived of creating Adam, and then He created him, and then He mixed the thing or whatever. On the 10th hour, Adam Arishan ate of the tree. On the 11th hour, he was judged. On the 12th hour, he went out with Dimus, with victory in judgment.
Wait, this all happened the same day.
Same day, first day.
Didn't you say that before that he did tshuva for it?
Yeah.
But does that mean he did tshuva?
He did tshuva, and he was gifted the 12th hour, and it was a gzar. The Matnas Kahuna, the main commentary on the Medrash, says, what does it mean he went out? Bidimus, gzar din shel chesed. A decree of kindness. That was his gzar din. So everybody asks, really? He was banished from Gan Eden. That's chesed? Can you imagine that being judged harshly? What it would have been? Like, what kind of chesed? Where is this? Where is the chesed in his judgment? So, we talked about this in one of the first sessions we did. But let's, now he's going to really go into an analysis of the sefer called Das Tevunas, the knowing heart, I think Feldheim translated as the knowing heart from Ramchal. And it goes into the small print mission statement of the purpose of creation. Okay? We'll state the purpose of creation, then tomorrow we'll come back and apply it here to what happened. Says Ramchal and Das Tunis, the purpose of creation is Gilui Yichud Hashem, revealing the oneness and the unity of Hashem in the world. That is the purpose of creation. Now we got to go fit everything in the world, everything that transpired in history, everything that will transpire in destiny, everything fits into that purpose of Gilui. What are we doing here? Anybody asks, what are you doing here? Gilui Malchus Yachdus Hashem. Okay, you take out the card. My mission, Gilui Achdus Hashem, revealing God's oneness. Okay, that's what we're doing here. That's the purpose of creation. Everything in life is going to be custom tailored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the opportunity to be able to reveal Achdus Hashem. No matter where we are, no matter where we find ourselves, that is what the job is. Okay, Gilui Achdus Hashem. He quotes here again, just two or three quotes. There is no form of service that does not bring the world to a higher, greater place in regard to revealing Achdus Hashem. So every step we do, we could be alone in a room, nobody sees us, in a dungeon 12 stories behind under the ground, we do an act which is a just moral act. We have brought the world to a greater revelation of Achdus Hashem. Similarly, God forbid, if we don't do a positive act, or if, God forbid, we do a negative act, we have created greater concealment of this concept of Achdus Hashem. We've made that more challenging to be discerned by us, by the world in its expressions. So now that we know the mission statement, we'll see how the entire Rosh Hashanah Avodah, and by extension, the creation of man, and for those of us who are his descendants, those among us who are his descendants, how our lives fit into the revelation of that Achdus Hashem. So we'll continue tomorrow with how that fits into man's judgment and how we tie into that energy on Rosh Hashanah.